And it's on my honor to be faithful and loyal to Ghana, my motherland. I pledge myself to the service of Ghana with all my strength and with all my heart. I promise to hold in high esteem our heritage won for us through the blood and toil of our fathers. And I pledge myself in all things to uphold and defend the good name of Ghana. So help me God.
The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana. The news presented by Baba Yakubu. KNUST formally transferred Siyang Campus to University of Energy and Natural Resources with a pledge to assist the new college to take off in September. Ghana National Union of Polytechnic Students appeals to POTAC to call off strike and return to the classroom. CAL still holding in Ekumfenakwa in the central region following yesterday's communal violence which claimed 2 lives. GJA bemoans creeping corruption in the media at the expense of Wokdok rule. Ban on drumming and noise making lifted in Gamashi ahead of Homowo. Malawi's pax row with Sudan following threats to arrest President al-Bashir on war crimes charges if he visits the country. And UN and Arab League envoy Kofi Annan urge world leaders to take decisive actions to stop the carnage in Syria.
Radio Ghana, the ultimate news reference. We are reliable. The world listens to our voice.
The Vice Chancellor of the Kwame Nkrumah University of Science and Technology, KNUST, Professor William Otu Ellis, says his university is ready to share its 60 years of experience with the University of Energy and Natural Resources, UENR. He gave the assurance at the signing of a memorandum of understanding between the KNUST and the UENR in Siang. Our correspondent Emmanuel Mensah-Blodo reports that the Bonohafo Regional Minister Kojenya Michemafo raised the occasion, which was also used to formally transfer the KNUST Siang campus to the UENR.
The ceremony attracted enthusiastic crowd of people from academia as well as chiefs from different communities in the region. Professor Ellis described the takeoff of the University of Energy and Natural Resources as a significant and historic moment for the Bonohafo region. He said it is significant because it will change the face of the region, and for KNUST, it will equally change its makeup because officially its Siang campus ceases to be under its sole control. Professor Ellis traced the history of the transfer of the Siang campus to UENR. The council chairman of UENR, Professor Abba Dentil Adam, said she and her team members have traveled a number of months on the assignment that the government and people of Ghana handed to them. They therefore cannot wait to commence academic work. The Bonohafo Regional Minister, Kojenya Michemafo, observed that the university will afford the people of the region the opportunity to access tertiary education at a minimal cost, devoid of inconveniences. Mr. Michemafo said the actualization of the university dream is a pledge fulfilled by the NDC government. A former Bonohafo Regional Minister, Kwame Sarah Mensah, who deputized for the council chairman of KNUST, P.V. Obeng, pledged to add his voice to matters that will ensure that the partnership between KNUST and UENR grows into what he termed perfection. The Vice-Chancellor of the UENR, Professor Isi Uwa, thanked all who played a part in establishing a public university for Bonohafo.
I wish to express my deepest appreciation and support KNUST. provided and continues to provide for the establishment of this university, and most importantly, for handing over this facility to start the operations of this great university. I have nothing worthier in my heart with which to express my deepest gratitude for this kind gesture to the University of Energy and Natural Resources.
That was correspondent Emmanuel Mensah Abludu's report. The Ghana National Union of Polytechnic Students, GNUPS, is appealing to the striking polytechnic lecturers to return to the classroom and not wait till the end of the month. Government has promised to meet the demands of the polytechnic lecturers by the end of this month. The students have described this period as the most critical in their academic life, as those their final year are getting ready to write the exams. Addressing journalists in Accra yesterday, the president of GNUPS, Shaban Abdul Manaf, so the students believe government will this time round pay the lecturers, since all stakeholders involved have appended their signatures to the agreement. Antoinette Akutobamfo reports.
The president of the Ghana National Union of Polytechnic Students, GNUPS, Shaban Abdul Manaf, said it is important for government to find a lasting solution to the differences between the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission and lecturers, since it affects students who are the future leaders of the country. He said the students want to see the genuine commitment of government to polytechnic education in terms of resources and development. Mr. Abdul Manaf stated that the group has cancelled their intended demonstration and hunger strike following a meeting they held with the Minister of Finance, the Accountant General Department and other stakeholders in the Putak strike.
We have about 1 month, 2 weeks or 3 weeks extension of the previous academic calendar, which is going to affect the long vacation, which would have been a suitable time for our students to have their industrial attachment with their colleagues at the universities. Now you don't vacate on time, you don't graduate on time. How then do you have the attachment where you were supposed to have? This is attachment grounds that we felt that are the places that we show the world that we are worth doing something to the country, to move it to the industrial revolution that we are calling for. We are pleading for them to get back to the classroom because we have already had problems with our recognition in the system.
On academic progress, the GNUPS president pleaded with government to look into the issue of HND graduates having to undergo 2 years university education before gaining their first degree, even though the course structure for courses like accounting in the university and polytechnic are similar. He said the time has come for polytechnics awarding degrees, since they are in the capacity to do so. Mr. Abdul Manaf again pleaded with the National Service Secretariat to post students to the GNUPS office. A final year student of Accra Polytechnic shared his views on the Putak strike.
What is happening currently, we, especially Accra Polytechnic student, we don't know our status at now, because our colleagues in other polytechnics like Hupoly and then Cape Coast are writing exams. Some of us are supposed to finish today. We're a third year student. That's at now. Actually, we don't know our status and we don't know what is happening now. So it means that we are going to still hang on our project where we don't even know where some of the lectures are. The lectures were brought from IPS to come in, but the lectures did not agree. That one day is good, they will mark. So that is why the Ghanaian government has done its part. Now, as it stands now, I don't put up to the meeting tomorrow to resolve the issue. So that's what we are waiting for.
There was an aggrieved student of Accra Polytechnic, ending that report by Antoinette Akotobamfo. The Central Regional Minister Ama Benyuwadu and the Regional Police Commander DCOP Stephen Andokofi have visited the Kumfinakwa community to calm tensions following ethnic clashes between the Fantis and Elvis, which left 2 people dead. Madame Benyuwadu described the incident as sad. She appealed to the residents to remain calm and cooperate with the police to do a proper investigation to find out the perpetrators of the crime. Madame Benyuwadu spoke to Malko Fiahe Ajiman.
I think it's one of those things which is an unfortunate situation. What happened really was that a man has been murdered in a community. The community is separated from the indigenous community. They happen to be where the settler fishermen are living. And so I think that these people obviously, having lost a compatriot, went in search of the disease and found out that he's been buried in a shallow pit there. And so they got in search, and I think a few things happened there. And the people who live in that community also decided that they were going to protect them and ended up with the two other people being shot down. And they're from the community. Three of them got wounded and in the central hospital. I went to the indigenous community and pleaded with them to exercise patience when they allowed the police to do their normal investigation, and went into the other community to also plead with them.
What steps do you intend to take to make sure such a situation doesn't occur again?
Well, I doubt if I can talk concretely about anything steps to be taken, apart from pleading with them to exercise patience. The only thing is to see that maybe the police do some work of investigating it, and of course, you all know that with that adequate information, the police cannot do much.
Central Regional Minister Amabenyu Wadu talking to Malko Siahe Ajiman. Meanwhile, there is an uneasy calm at Ekumsi Nakwa. Our Central Regional Correspondent Kingsley Nanabuidu visited the community and told Malko Siahe Ajiman that 10 other people also sustained various degrees of injury and are receiving treatment at the Central Regional Hospital. He first spoke about the cause of the clashes.
We got information this morning that yesterday there was this confusion that broke at Ekumsi Nakwa in the Infantiman district or municipality of the central region. And one died as of yesterday, and today too, one person also died as a result of the crash. A man who comes from Ekumsi Nakwa went to the farm and never returned. So in the evening, the residents and the family decided to go and look for him. On their way to the farm, they saw the man's luggage somewhere along the footpath to the farm. So they took the bags and decided to go inside the farm to look for him. When they got there, they saw something that is buried, sort of buried there. And not soon they approached the site, and it was the man. And the head is cut off. As we speak, they have not seen the head. So they reported the case to the police, and the police began investigating the matter, finding out where they can find. So in the course of it this morning, this generated into a whole lot of confusion in the area, and it led to some clashes between the indigenous that happens to be the Fantis and a subset of the people who are Elvis. There's this small community around where the farm was, and we were told that that place is for some Elvis people. So town people assumed that probably it was somebody from the Elvis community who perhaps perpetrated that crime or who killed the man who happened to be a Fantis. So that brought about the conflict and the crash this morning. There were gunshot and gunshot injuries and all of that. And in the course of that, one person also who happened to be from the Ever sect also lost his life. So actually two people have died as a result of this. About 10 houses have been burnt down, but police have been quite helpful. They came to the site and they've restored calm to the thing. In the morning, as at 10 coming, it was a serious matter. But as I speak with you, calm has been restored to the place.
So where are the injured?
Yes, the Central Regional Hospital, where we were told about 10 of the victims have been sent to ascertain the level of injuries they sustained.
Central Regional Correspondent Kingsley Nanabuidu talking to Malko Siahe Ajiman. The Ghana National Commission on Small Arms and Light Weapons says it is greatly worried about the proliferation of weapons into the country. Since the beginning of the year, the security agencies have intercepted a number of arms and ammunition being smuggled either in or out of the country, the latest being Wednesday when custom officials intercepted 9 AK-47 rifles, a fully loaded pistol and 280 rounds of live ammunition hidden among sacks of cola on an Ivorian registered articulated truck at the Ahuankwanta Customs Checkpoint at the Kumasi-Obuasi Highway. Speaking to Radio Ghana, the Executive Secretary of the Commission, Jones Apley, said the police need to get to the bottom of all the cases and find out the motive for such actions. He spoke with Bubu Klinogo.
It is worrying to the extent that people are being adventurous in trying to bring in their weapons. As a country, you should be worried. But for me, what gives me gratification is the fact that our security agencies are on top of the game. They are on top of what they are doing, because they have received very firm instructions that they should be extra alert as we approach the election. So all the strategies and everything has been activated to ensure that Ghana remains peaceful before before, during, and after the election. But let me make this point. No, it is worrying because if we allow civilians to own the kind of weapons that they confiscated in Kumasi, then that calls for concern. The question that comes to mind is that what is the motive of the person that is bringing it? Obviously, it is not to sell it to our security services, because it's only our security services that are allowed to hold assault rifles.
As an expert in these arms issues, can you hazard any guess as to why these people will be bringing in the arms? Is it in relation to the oil fine or the elections?
Conflicts are always prosecuted through or by the use of small arms and light weapons. If guns are not in any conflict, it is not a fatal conflict. And so it behoves on our security agencies really to know why. Sitting here, it is very difficult for me really to prop any or to hazard any guess why they are bringing it. Because if you get AK-47 entry into your country, these are weapons that can be used to confront even the security services.
Executive Secretary of the Ghana National Commission of Small Arms and Light Weapons, Jones Atley, talking to Bubu Klinogo on the proliferation of arms in the country. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, and the major stories. KNUST formally transfers Nyai Campus University of Energy and Natural Resources with a pledge to assist the new college to take off in September. Ghana National Union of Polytechnic Students appeals to POTAC to call off strike and return to the classroom. CAL still holding in Ekumfi Nakwa in the central region following yesterday's communal violence which claimed two lives. GJA bemoans keeping corruption in the media at the expense of watchdog rule. Ban on drumming and noise-making lifted in Gamashi ahead of Homowo. Malawi sparks row with Sudan following threats to arrest President al-Bashir on war crimes charges if he visits the country. And UN and Arab League envoy Kofi Annan urges world leaders to take decisive actions to stop the carnage in Syria. Do stay tuned.
Radio Ghana, the ultimate news reference. We are reliable. The world listens to our voice.
Welcome back. The Vice President of the Ghana Journalist Association, Asomoni, has attributed the rise of corruption in the media to several factors, including poor remuneration. He said the ethical decay in the media landscape is as a result of this weak entry point. Speaking on our current affairs program Behind the News, Mr. Moni cautioned journalists to be more vigilant in playing their watchdog role. He spoke to Agatha Asamoah.
Corruption is rife in the media. And the causal factor is obvious. We have a situation where journalists are not paid well. Many journalists do not get their due. We are confronted with a situation where some journalists are not paid at all, but as the saying goes, man must survive. So the survivor instinct pushes certain journalists to the extreme in extracting, in blackmailing, in devising all kinds of methods to survive. It's a stark reality and a stark prevalence that corruption is also rife in the media. And when it comes to corruption, like journalists are not at all purer than pure, nor whiter than white. We cannot occupy the moral high ground and then castigate others.
Mr. Moni also encouraged journalists to upgrade their skills to meet the changing trends and demands of media consumers.
This job needs that scholastic or intellectual underpinning to make it more meaningful and more professional. That's the more reason why educational institutions are springing up. The patronage is so high. It's a wake-up call to all journalists to deepen their level of knowledge and education, and this will reflect positively in our media performance.
What is the way forward for the Guardian media?
We need to be more responsive to our present situation by learning more, because we tend to take media consumers for granted. But the fact is that some media consumers are more knowledgeable than we are, more intelligent than we are. And for us to meet their standard, meet their level, we need to be humble and learn. And then for us to catch up with them. We also need to respect the ethics of the profession, because without ethics, journalism becomes a chaotic game.
He says it is unfortunate that the media focuses too much on politics to the detriment of other national issues. Mr. Moni cautioned journalists against this trend because this can create problems for the country.
going by the report, indicated that standards are slipping because we tend to focus more on politics more than any other else. And as a result, many issues of national, crucial national importance are left unattended to. We live in a country where almost every issue is refracted in political lenses. And this works negatively against our development agenda because if we are developed, I believe issues which border on development should take the pride of place. It should be brought from the back burner to the front burner. We, apart from a culture of insults, we also need to be more aggressive, neutrally, because we need aggressive neutrality. This is where we need to move away from the present era to an era of aggressive neutrality. That way, our media consumers will take it seriously.
Vice President of the GGA, Afel Money. Consumers have been asked to pay critical attention to the safety of food put out for sale. This is to ensure that they do not consume contaminated food and also avoid spending the rest of their lives treating illness derived from unsafe food. The Vice Chair of Codex Alimentarius Commission, Professor Samuel Sefadidi, made the call in Accra as a public lecture which focus on securing the safety of food, a shared responsibility. He said consumers have the right to make choices when it comes to determining the quality of food. Yvonne Atiligo has more.
The lecture seeks to raise awareness on food safety and to make consumers conscious of what they eat. Professor Sefadidi said determining the safety of food should not be the duty of consumers alone, but all who matter in the supply chain. Taking a look at the environment where food is being produced and sold is also very important. Professor Sefadidi also asked the standards enforcement agencies, such as the Ghana Standards Authority and the Food and Drugs Board, to be on the lookout for those who put on sale unwholesome food.
We need sensitization to know that we have a right as a consumer not to be given products that are not safe. You want to be sure that that apple you are buying on the street for your daughter or your son is not going to create kidney problems for them. You want to make sure that whatever you are eating is not going to create a problem for you. And I think as a consumer, we would need to work together more. We as consumers must appreciate that if we are looking for safe and reliable things, we may have to pay a little bit more for the value addition. It may just be washing and repackaging and keeping cool until you come and purchase the item.
That was Yvonne Atiligo's report. Despite Cocoa Board settling aside of 50 million Ghana cedis as seed money for the establishment of a cocoa farmers pension scheme in 2009, the scheme is yet to take off. The Minister of Finance and Economic Planning, Dr. Kwabena Dufo, said this when he briefed Parliament on a wide range of issues under his sector. He said Cocoa Board is currently studying an interim report by a consultant on the scheme. Dr. Dufo said Cocoa Board is also building a database on farmers to facilitate the smooth running of the pension scheme. Augustus Akwei has the details.
Cocoa has been a major foreign exchange earner for the country. Though Ghana is second in the table of leading producing countries, the quality of its beans is second to none. The Minister of Finance and Economic Planning, Dr. Kwabena Dufo, said the farmer database will not only help the scheme, but also aid in effective decision-making in the cocoa sector. The database will take both personal information and farmer activities such as location, size of farms, and sale of cocoa beans. He noted that he is personally committed to ensuring that the scheme succeeds.
I want to give a commitment to my friend that I'll make sure that that is implemented. Indeed, I'm talking to the consultant myself to find out why it's taking so long. As a friend of the cocoa farmer, I'm also worried.
The minister also briefed the House on the tussle between the National Lottery Authority and the Lotto Sellers Union last year. He said the Lotto Sellers Union were not in agreement with the NLA's reduction of commissions paid from 25% to 20%. When the case was taken to court, the court in Accra, however, ruled in favor of the NLA, citing Act 722, which gives the governing board of the NLA the right to determine new levels of commission to be paid to Lotto marketing companies. Dr. Dufo noted that Ghana's commission of 20% is the highest in the world, so the Lotto sellers were not given a raw deal. For Radio Ghana News, Augustus Akwe, Accra.
The ban on drumming and noise making imposed on Gamashi ahead of Homoro has been lifted. At a ceremony to lift the ban yesterday, the Besiman Cheni Ayibonte called on government to return to the Ga State community centers and lands belonging to the Ga Traditional Council that are not being used for the purpose for which they were acquired. The PRO of the AMA, Numo Blafo, told George Asikri that the 1 month ban was peacefully observed.
The ban has been lifted. That is the right that should be performed for the ban to be lifted. That has been done. The Besimanche is well wishing peace.
Numo Blafo, what did the Besimanche say?
He spoke about the land that is being said has been returned to the Gans, yet we the Gans are not seeing anything. Meanwhile, we're seeing that or we're hearing that government appointees are sharing these lands among themselves. He also spoke about the community center, which was a place for the community where we normally have a program, but which now the government has taken over. And he is telling government to return this edifice, that is the community center, to the Gans. And then he is also imploring, I think the minister is here, and he's giving him the message, including the regional minister, O Apotiago. He's giving them the message to send to the president, for the president to consider the Gamashi area.
PRO of AMA, Numo Blafo, talking to George Asikri on the lifting of the ban on drumming and noise making in Gamashi. 5 persons arrested for trying to cheat the system by unlawfully intercepting electronic communication in the country have been remanded in custody. Network technician Kofi Ose, Eugene Parker, Kingsley Latte and Richard Kwachi, all students are charged with intercepting electronic records without authority, possessing illegal devices, providing electronic communication service without license, and knowingly interfering with the sending, transmission, delivery and interception of communication. A 5th person, Maoli Ahiapo, and a call center agent, is charged with abetment of crime. All 5 have pleaded not guilty and are to be reappear before the Accra Circuit Court in Accra on the 15th of this month. Amasewa Bidiako has more.
It is the case of the prosecution that the illegal bypass of the National Gateway has deprived the country about 7,200,000 Ghana cedis. Narrating the fact before Justice Audrey Kokuvite, DSP Abraham Ano said the police CID, together with the officials of the National Communication Authority and telecom service providers, last Wednesday arrested the suspects in their various homes, following concerns about the activities of SIM box operations nationwide. He said the suspects had mounted in their rooms SIM servers with routers to enable the servers to transmit communication signals to other receivers in the U.S. In all, 25 SIM servers, 26 Cisco routers, 6 laptops, and a large quantity of scratch cards were retrieved from the accused persons.
That was Amasewa Bediako's report. On the international front, Sudan is seeking to have next month's African Union summit move to Ethiopia after host Malawi tried to block President Omar al-Bashir from attending. He is wanted by the International Criminal Court. The ICC has indicted Mr. Bashir for genocide and other crimes in Sudan's Western Darfur region, an accusation he denies. As an ICC member state, Malawi is supposed to arrest him if he visits the country. Malawi already angered international donors when it hosted Mr. Bashir last year. And International Envoy Kofi Annan has urged the world's nations to unite behind a new effort to end the escalating Syrian conflict, warning that if things do not change quickly, the country will likely see brutal repression, massacres, sectarian violence, and all-out civilian war. Mr. Annan told the UN General Assembly that his 6-point peace plan is not being implemented, and he puts the blame primarily on President Bashar. In a message aimed at the divided UN Security Council, he said there must be consequences for those obstructing the peace effort. To end the news, the main point again. The KNUST and the University of Energy and Natural Resources have signed a memorandum of understanding following the formal transfer of the Sinai campus to the new university. there is an uneasy calm at Ekumfi Nankwa in the central region after an ethnic clash between Fantis and Ewe, which resulted in the death of two people. And Malawi has sparked a diplomatic row with Sudan following threats to arrest President al-Bashir on war crimes if he visits the country. And that ends the news broadcast from Radio Ghana, Accra.